Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and specifically the mysteries of the Kingdom of God, the things that people seem to have missed. I mean, that's actually why we should spell that mystery, M-I-S-S, because these are the things that you missed. And it's a mystery to me why you missed them. It's actually not. I understand. If you go out of the way of God, out of the presence of God, and we talked about this in the last show, out of the face of God, then you can't see His face. If you can't see His face, you can't see His identity. You can't see His identity. You can't understand His nature, and therefore you have scales over your eyes, and you can be misled by the world, the flesh, and the devil. You can be controlled and manipulated to make choices, openly make choices that you are responsible for, and create obligations that you are subject to, because you did not see. It's true, but you did not see because of a choice you made earlier. It's like the drunk driver. Can you hold a drunk driver responsible for running over somebody when he was so drunk he couldn't even see straight? Yes. Because he chose to get drunk. And now he's responsible for his actions because he chose to diminish his capacity. And we choose to diminish our capacity to see the truth when we deny the truth. And in the Bible, they tell a story of us choosing to decide for ourselves what was right and wrong, realizing that was a big mistake, and not confessing that error, but hiding from the truth of that. And we are still hiding to this very day, afraid to come into the light and see the truth of our own actions. So therefore, we will go around saying things like, it's the government's fault the world is in the state that it's in today, when it's actually our fault. You know, it's not my fault, it's the liquor I've been drinking. Well, you chose to drink the liquor. You are responsible. So anyway, we were talking in the last show about the Ninth Amendment that says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Now, the Constitution didn't have anything to do with the rights of the people. The enumeration of rights in the Constitution are rights of government granted to the federal government by the individual republics that we call states. They created the Constitution. It wasn't ratified by the people. It was ratified by the states. It wasn't even legally ratified, but it's there, and they have agreed to it. And they have more than agreed to it because they have been taking benefits based on its power to exercise authority. And therefore, they have given it more and more power until it's become like a beast that devours who it wills, and they can't control it anymore. But it had nothing to do, we the people, that's the people who signed it and eventually ratified it. And it had nothing to do with the average American living on his land in fee simple, becoming an a tough nut for any royal power to crack. Those people had developed a sense of rugged independence, and often using a system of tens, hundreds, and thousands, and their own churches and their free will offerings, took care of all the needy of their society, took care of themselves, built their roads, defended themselves against invasion, and simply took care of the needs of their society through faith, hope, and charity, and mutual effort as communities. They did all that. And then when the king came along, who hadn't been doing anything, said, I'm going to put all kinds of taxes and limitations, you can only sell to me. He was treating them like subjects, We were free men. A third of the people actually owned their own land and could not be taxed. 30% of the people owned their own land. Nobody in America owns their own land today. How did that come about? You don't even know that you don't own your own land, even though we can show you in Law versus Legal. You can, the audio's on that, the book's on that, the Covenants of the Gods explain that. You don't own your land. You have a legal title that doesn't include ownership. It doesn't include the beneficial interest or the right to use the property. You pay $400,000 for a piece of property, you don't have any right to use it. Unless you pay the use tax. If you pay the use tax, you get to use it. Stop paying the use tax, you don't get to use it anymore, and they'll sell it to somebody else, sell the legal title to somebody else who will pay the use tax. It's simple. You don't own it. That's the law. I'm not making this up. If you didn't, you go, we're not going to go off on that tangent, but go study that. The point is, those people retained rights that they had established by what they were doing. And the Constitution didn't take any of those rights away. And they're saying that in the Ninth Amendment. Now, those rights don't exist for most Americans today. Those rights that they were retaining, because most Americans have not retained their rights. Why not? Because they were slothful. And a lot of other reasons, and we'll get into some of those. The Tenth Amendment says, dealing with the powers of the states and people, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, see, that's what the Constitution was doing, is delegating rights to the people. I mean, to the people of the United States, which would be the employees of the United States. All those workers there, you know, congressmen, senators, presidents, he was delegating. Because you don't delegate it to a piece of paper. You're delegating it to people that are taking the offices of the United States. By the Constitution, that's what it was doing. Nor prohibited by it to the states. In other words, there were some things the states couldn't do. Are reserved, so any rights not mentioned in the Constitution are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So that's very important to understand that any rights not granted to the United States by the United States Constitution to the bureaucrats, public employees of the United States are reserved to the states or to the people. But how did that all come about? There are some rights listed in there, such as your right to contract. They can't prohibit your right to contract. So you can go and make contracts that give somebody else the right to decide for you what you're going to do. You know, that's just the way it is. You can give them the right to make decisions. Marriage, civil marriage, is a contract between you, your spouse, and the state, where now the state has a right to decide certain aspects of your relationship with your wife. If she sues for a divorce or you sue her for divorce, the state can come in and separate the products of your marriage, the children, the finances, the house, the pensions, and give some to one spouse and give some to the other. They already have that jurisdiction. You gave it to them when you went and signed a civil contract with them. And they spelled out what they were going to do in codes and statutes, reserving the right to change those codes and statutes as the years go on. You still have the right to marry, but you have restricted the choices. You have given the choices concerning your right to marry and be married and stay married to somebody else by contract. The right still exists. It's just somebody else has first right to decide on your behalf. And that's the courts. And they do it on a regular basis. And you're surprised when they have so much power and you think it's unfair. Well, you gave them the power. Maybe you should have done something so that you wouldn't give them the power. Another matter. The point is if you don't retain your rights, you're not going to have the right to decide anymore. If you give the right to somebody else, if you sell your right to decide in exchange for a pot of benefits, and I'm using certain words here, a pot of benefits, like a pot of porridge, then they have the right to decide on your behalf. Where does the power of government, given it by the people, go when the government does contrary to its original grant? Well, now, is the United States federal government doing contrary to its original grant? Now, we see it's seemingly taking away the rights of the people. And like, I've got several articles up, some at newsoftheuse.com, like on the right to bear arms and et cetera, et cetera. They're not really regulating your right to bear arms. They're regulating what you own, your possessions. The same as, you know, they can regulate all kinds of things that you think you own because you only have legal title to them, because you're dealing in commerce. They're not taking away necessarily your right to bear arms. You're thinking outside of a box you are dwelling in. You're thinking it's still 1776 or 1793. It's not. You've got created all kinds of contractual obligations that give other people the right to decide what you're doing and what you're not doing. The solution is to seek that independent life in society whereby you are not making all these covenants and contracts and constitutions with people. But people have, you know, we have a whole series on the Constitution showing you that this glorious Constitution that everybody thinks is so popular with Americans today, some Americans, was absolutely unpopular with Americans back in the 1790s. That was so unpopular, they would have voted it down. They would never have voted it into place. And we also show you that, biblically speaking, there are five basic precepts that you need to put in a constitution according to biblical prerequisites, you know, stated in Deuteronomy 17:16, I think it is, that you should put all five of these elements in your constitution and write it down and read it to your leaders every day. Only one of them, only one of the five are in the Constitution of the United States. That's not a quorum in relationship. People, you know, like to draw pictures of, you know, Christ there in the room with the guys writing the Constitution. Christ knew those verses. He would have said, hey, you got to put in these other four clauses. But he wasn't there. There were some decent guys there, pretty nice guys. But again, the Constitution was to create a federal government for the states. You weren't a citizen of the United States. You were a citizen of your local states. Now, you're not only a citizen of the United States, you're actually all employees of the United States. So your employment, for instance, is regulated by the United States because of your contract with them. I mean, slavery is not legal in this country, right? But if you sign up with, and I'm going to pick a random team, I don't even know if it exists anymore, the LA Rams, and you're a player on the LA Rams, which is, I guess, a football team. I'll show you how much I know about sports. It used to be the Houston Oilers. I don't know if they still exist either. The Red Sox or the New York Yankees. There you go. The New York Yankees. You sign up with them and you have a contract. They can sell your contract to a Los Angeles team. And you got to go move to Los Angeles and play for them. Now you can say, oh, I don't want to do that anymore, but you're going to get stripped of all your money and you may even be fined because you didn't keep the terms of your contract. Contracts are powerful, very powerful, and you're making them at the drop of a hat. And you can't just unmake them. You can say, well, I'm just going to break that contract. Lots of luck with that. That's not going to work, especially since your whole nation is into debt up to your ears. Now, I'm not going to say that the government are angels, but the problem that you can do something about is you. It's not the government. You can't change their heart without becoming a dictator yourself. Peaceful or unpeaceful, demonstration, or what was the term we used at the beginning here? Nonviolent confrontation. Nonviolent confrontations have a tendency to become violent. That's the nonviolent confrontation is the first step towards violent confrontation. No, what you need to do is repent and turn around and go the other way, because you don't know how to be in a free society. You need some practice, and you can start practicing while you're still in there. That's why Jesus said, pay Caesar. Be friends with the unrighteous mammon. For when it fails, you'll be suitable for more righteous habitation. But what you should be doing now is turning around and seeking the kingdom of God. Now, if you want to vote for your Ron Pauls and all that stuff, that's fine. But you need to be working on seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You need to be creating that society that the early church was creating, that operated by faith, hope, and charity. And you need to start learning what it means to be a community of the people, for the people, and by the people, that is operating by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. If you can't do that, you should not be free. And civil disobedience is of no value to you whatsoever. And we're going to get into some of the things, what some people may call civil disobedience and not civil disobedience. And I know there's some gray areas here. And I don't mind a little fudging and testing the waters. But you need to have the fundamental direction of where you're going correct. And not just cater to those people who want to go, yeah! You need to be bringing people to weep and cry the tears of repentance and be baptized in those tears and realize they have screwed up and gone the wrong way. And it's not nearly as much the government's fault as yours. Was it Saul's fault? Yeah, he was corrupted, but you should have never elected Saul. Power corrupts, don't you know that? Why do you give men power? Because you don't want to take back your responsibilities. And if you don't, you're not going to be free. Government did not lose its authority or right to exist when it made a deal with the bankers. It didn't. You lost your rights when you made deals with the bankers. If this was such a Christian nation back then, what on earth was anybody dealing in Federal Reserve notes for anyway? What happened to just weights and measures? If Israel today was Israel of old, why does it have iron coin? Why does it have debt notes? Why does it have heavy progressive income tax? Why does it have property tax? That's usury. Those are all use taxes. That's usury. They're not Israel. They're against Moses. Just as you are against Christ today by what you are doing. And if you were really Christians like the early Christians, you would not be doing these things. All these controversies we see coming up today. And we just finished our 22-hour series on Romans, the Epistle of Romans. And hopefully sometime this week we'll have that ready on DVD. You can download them all right now on the internet. But just get a hold of the Living Network and at our website, and somebody will show you where those links are. But the point is, you need to turn around. You need to go the other way. God entrusted man with rights. He is the author of our liberties. But man entrusted other men to make the choices over their rights, make choices for them. You decide. You know, you Moses, you decide. You Saul, you protect us. We give you the power to be our commander in chief. That was called a rejection of God. Now it's done. You've done it. You know, it's a done deal. When they did their rejection of God and Saul became power and then eventually David became the next power and then Solomon became the next power, and by Rehoboam they said, give us back our freedom. He didn't do it. He didn't give them back their freedom. He chose not to. And they said, what is David to us? And they walked away from their inheritance. Now you can do that, but that isn't where Christ started. Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Moses didn't take people to the edge of the Egyptian desert and say, you're free, run for it, one at a time. Brought the people together in faith, hope, and charity. And if you're not working towards that, you're not working towards the freedom of the people. If you're just rabble-rousing the people to say, hey, let's take our rights back, without saying, you guys need to take your responsibilities back first. You need to become the welfare of your society first. You need to become health, education, and welfare of your society first. If that is not where you are starting, you are not starting with Christ. You are starting somewhere else. And you're just another rebel. For some, they think it is right to be like others that don't move past the Constitution. The UN and the Agenda 21 and the New World Order. BS. You need to move past that. The Constitution is not your salvation. Yeah, there's an Agenda 21. Yeah, there's a New World Order. Yeah, the Constitution does exist, and it did give power to government, but the people gave more power to government because they did not retain their rights, because they did not retain their responsibilities. You cannot be clinging to the idea that somehow or other the United States, under the Constitution, is not the government of Cain and Babylon and Rome and the civil law government of Rome. It is, because of the nature of the people's desire to have a relationship with that government. They need to change, or there will be no change. There will only be chaos. You don't even need civil disobedience. In the books, Contract, Covenants, and Constitution, we show you all this stuff, and we detail it out, and I think there's 8 hours at least on that in audios, that where we go through chapter by chapter. The people failed to be the self-governing body that they were meant to be in the Republic. They deny and disparage their own rights and liberties, well, with the choices that they make. To obtain an illusion of wealth, Federal Reserve, legal title, benefits coming out your ears. Those all false hopes of security. And they have actually brought their own children into bondage and their grandchildren into bondage, and they do so regularly. They worry about the federal government not balancing the budget. They know that the government is bankrupt, and yet they still want benefits. They still send their kids to public school. They still hope to collect Social Security. They're willing to take all these benefits of a government they know is bankrupt, because they see everybody, well, I paid in. Yeah, but it's bankrupt. There's no money in Social Security or anything. Liberty is not collective. It is personal. All liberty is individual liberty, because we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and the Creator did not create government, men did. Freedom is the right to choose. I'm quoting other men here. The freedom is the right to choose, the right to create for oneself the alternatives of choice. Without the possibility of choice and the exercise of choice, a man is not a man, but a member. An instrument, a thing. You don't have a right to decide what you're going to contribute to the welfare of your society. We used to have that right. Now, someone else makes that choice for us, because we ask men who exercise authority one over the other to be our benefactors and to provide us with health care and some of you are going to say, I didn't want health care. Public schools? How about that? Fire departments? How about that? Fire departments supported by property tax. Police supported by property tax. Other social programs supported by property tax. You were willing to take from your neighbor so that you could have those benefits. And you wonder about the 9th and 10th Amendment? Power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, or reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. Powers, rights to choose, But you gave up those rights to choose when you decided to give government the right to choose to take away from your neighbor so that you could have benefits. Real liberty is never found in despotism, and that is a despotic act. Or in the extremes of democracy, which is nothing but despotism by the mob. I mean, the actual quote is, real liberty is never found in despotism or in the extremes of democracy. That's Benjamin Franklin. They probably didn't read that to you when you were in public school. And they probably didn't even give you a book that you could read it in when you were in public school. Because that just rings too much. Democracy's good now. It used to be bad. 1922, it was bad. 1945, it's good. Proverbs tells you, 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. That's exactly where you are at today. You are under tribute because you've been slothful in taking care of the needs of your society through faith, hope, and charity the way we used to do it, the way it made this country great. And this, but when we turned our back on that, and the churches are to blame more than anybody else, we were in a lot of trouble. If you go back and read Deuteronomy 28:15, it says, but it shall, and we're going to read right on through that. So if you want to look that up, go ahead and look that up. We're going to do most of it after the break, but right now we'll just get into it a little bit. So you got time to go get that in your Bibles. Deuteronomy 28:15 is where we're starting. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now we can sum up all his commandments and statutes in two laws. Love God with thy whole heart, mind, and soul. And love thy neighbor as thyself. If you don't do those, and I'm not talking about all the other things that you guys are going to start listing off, all the Mosaic statutes and all this stuff. We're talking about God's commandments and statutes and what that means. And we can go into a study of the Hebrew, find out what commandments means and what statutes means. And we do in other places, but we're not going to do all that. But he's telling you, if you won't do that, cursed shalt thou be in the city and the civil authorities. Cursed shalt thou be in the field and your whole society. He's telling you that if you're not going to listen to those basic laws of loving God, which is righteousness and truth, and the truth is you screwed up, and the righteousness is to take care of the needs of your society through faith, hope, and charity. If you're not doing that, then cursed shall be your city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. And those curses are coming like a freight train upon you. And there's nothing you can do to stop it except repent and go back to the ways of God that you have neglected so much. If we go on into verse 19, it says, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. So you come into this society and you'll be cursed if you escape, if you get out. If that's all you're focusing on is getting out and not getting into the kingdom and following the righteousness, you'll still be cursed. So you got to find out where you have to go and how you have to go there, and you need to do it. But that's going to be your choice, because I'm going to let you be at liberty to make that choice. And we'll talk about that choice when we return to the keys of the kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about curses in Deuteronomy 28:15, that if you do not follow and observe his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day. He says you'd be cursed. Cursed in your baskets, cursed in your stores, cursed in the fruits of your body, cursed in your land, cursed in your kine, cursed in your flocks and your sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in or when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off of the land whether thou goest to possess it. Well, you're off the land already. You don't own it anymore. You don't own your land. You don't own yourself. You don't own your children, and you put them into debt. Not only that, but the foods that you're producing on the land now with the new GMO thing are going to be toxic, not only to you, but to the sheep and the flocks and the cattle. Cattle eating GMOs are showing 15 to 45% infertility rates. In some places where animals are turned in on GMO crops, they die. The same thing is happening with the people that consume these things. It's affecting gastrointestinal problems are rampant in this country. Cancers rampant. Epidemic in these countries compared to years ago. And your ministers in your churches are not waking you up to why this is going on. It has to do with intent and diet and everything. And they're sitting there telling you, don't worry, you're saved because you thought a thought. You thought you believed in Jesus, and therefore you're saved. But that's not what Christ said. That's not what Paul said. Paul said you had to keep the commandments of God. And he lists them off. And we'll go through that. But anyway, back to Deuteronomy. Verse 20, thou shalt send upon thee curses, vexations, and rebuke. I'm rebuking you. That's my job. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. The Lord shall make pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off of the land, whether thou goest to possess it. So you don't own your land anymore. You don't own yourself. You don't own your kids. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with a sword, which I think we had one of our buttons disconnected here. We're back on again. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption and with fever, with inflammation and with extreme burning, with swords and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. We're in Deuteronomy 15, verse 22. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron, and the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder, and dust from heaven shalt it come upon thee until thou be destroyed. Boy, that sounds pretty bad curses. I don't know. It's going on and on with these bad curses. That what's that going to be like? Well, it's like what's happening now. You think the problems are because government's doing something wrong, so you're going to change the attitude and mind of government? You think that that's what Christ's message was? That he said, okay, you guys got to elect a better leader? You got to be civilly disobedient? Yeah, we're going to get into exactly what it means to be civilly disobedient and what is not civilly disobedient, so that you can stay friends with the unrighteous mammon, but move more and more towards the righteousness that will set you free. The righteousness of Christ that will set you free. We're not going to just say believe and think a thought. We're going to say walk a walk. turn around and walk in the direction of Christ, like the prodigal son. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and thou shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. You know, America don't win the wars no more. We just expand them for generation to generation. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the earth and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Are you being consumed now? Are you meat to the earth? To the fowls of the air and the beasts of the earth? You're in debt more than any other nation in the world per capita. It's unbelievable the debt that, and they are devouring your wealth. You don't own your land. You don't own yourself. You don't own your future and your children's future. This is all taking place right now. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emrods and with the scab and with the itch, and whereof thou canst not be healed. The botch of Egypt. You're in the bondage of Egypt now. In the bondage of Egypt, 20% of everything you earned had to go to the government. The government took care of the welfare needs of society. How's that working out for you now? Is that 20% now? And are they taking care of the welfare needs of your society? You know, they were withdrawing the welfare benefits. You know, you didn't get your straw anymore. That's what they're talking about. Leeks and onions and eating in the flesh pots, and we'll get into that, of Egypt. That, they're all talking about socialism. Decrease of benefits. Still having to pay in. If you read our article on that, not so secure socialism, you will see that the law is they don't have to give you any benefits. That was the deal to begin with. You still have to pay in. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of the heart. You didn't know all this because you were smit with blindness because you were coveting your neighbor's goods. You started with the rich, but now you're coveting the middle class. Because you were slothful. Because you sat and ate with a ruler with a great appetite. And so you've been blinded. Scales, you can't see. And now you're astonished at what I say. And your churches just say, don't worry, you're saved. Surely you will not die. God's saying you will die. And you will be cursed and cursed and cursed and cursed. And thou shalt grope at noonday, and the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee, including men who are suggesting civil disobedience. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. And we're down in verse 30 by now. But that's exactly what Samuel was telling you when you rejected God and elected a ruler who could exercise authority one over the other. Which is why Christ said you were not to be that way, but you were to take care of all the social welfare people, needs of your people, in pure religion, unspotted from the world, meaning the constitutional order and systems of government. You haven't done that in 100 years. You've been against Christ for 100 years, and your churches have sat there building their crystal cathedrals, putting up their big screen TVs and singing songs instead of taking care of the needy of their society through faith, hope, and charity. You need to learn how to do that again, or you should not be free. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shalt not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. That's happening right now. The only thing that's keeping the lumber industry afloat in America today is the fact that China's buying it all with the dollars that are going to be worthless. And there's nothing nobody's going to do anything about. I mean, how many times have you seen your government, I don't care what nation you live in, have you seen it pass things that nobody wanted, but they did it anyway? It's been going on for decades now. They're just stripping the carcass. But you're just skating along thinking everything is okay. It's getting worse and worse and worse, and you want them to balance the budget. Why don't you balance righteousness? The sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thy eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and thy labors shall nations which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. Your children. I mean, there's many levels on which this prophecy has already come true. If your children are going off to public schools and universities, I see kids go away and they're conservative and they come back and they're liberals. What happened? There's a mysterious thing that takes place, a collective consciousness. When you're surrounded by people that think a certain way, unless you are rooted in real faith through righteousness, they will be seduced away. Their minds will be taken away with these other thoughts. And that's what's happening. They're not your children. I mean, for 30 years now, 20 years at least, 25 years, people have come to me because we home taught our kids, and even our kids have been affected by this, but we're pointing it out how they're affected by this thinking of others out there in the world. But they have to learn to not be affected by that, and the only way is to repent and start taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. Stop seeking the benefits of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, and start becoming the benefactors of God who do not exercise authority. Start learning to give. Start learning to cast your bread upon the waters and take care of one another. Or there is no reason why you should be free. So that thou shalt be made mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs and the sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which is not Jesus, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone, and thou shalt become an astonishment of proverbs, and a byword amongst all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, and the locusts shall consume it. The bureaucrats shall consume it. All this, they're telling you what's going to happen if you didn't love thy neighbor as thyself, and you didn't. That's the problem. It's not the Federal Reserve. It's not the liberals. It's not the Democrats. It's not the socialists. It's you. You are not gathering together with other people to care for one another, to love one another, to be health, education, and welfare for one another. That's the problem. That's the only problem you need to be focusing on, is that you don't really love to be a giver of life. You love to get life from others. You want to be angry at them as if it's their fault and it's your fault. And you want to judge them instead of become and seek righteousness in all that you do. That's why we created the network, so that you could start to do that. You can start gathering together and form congregations of record. Why? Of records of testimony. It's not the paperwork. That's for the world. The testimony is that you're actually taking care of one another. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them. Thou shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them up. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all of the coast, and thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. In other words, it'll become barren. You will actually see this physically happening. You will actually see it physically happening with actual real olive trees and grape vineyards. But right now, we're talking about it as metaphors. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity, both in debt, mentally, spiritually. They'll belong to somebody else. Because you're not doing what Christ said, what Moses said, what God has said from the beginning. All thy trees and fruits of thy land shalt the locusts consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee. In other words, there'll be foreigners ruling you and controlling you. That happened yet? That happened? Is that happening in your country? Is this prophecy not already come to pass? It's just going to get worse. Very high. Thou shalt, it goes to the foreigner, the stranger, will get very high over thee. Thou shalt come down very low. You'll be under their authority. Why? Because you don't love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. You would have seen all this coming if you really did that. You don't even know how to do that. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Sound familiar? Why is all this coming about? He says it's going to come about if you don't keep his statutes. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Not covet thy neighbor's goods. Not steal or rob thy neighbor. Not kill or not have somebody else do the killing for you. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's what you do. Honor meaning fatten. Take care of thy father and thy mother. Provide for them. Build their house up, so that your families will be wealthy. But then don't forget about your neighbor. Like Moses said, love thy neighbor as thyself, like Christ said. You're not doing that. Those are not just, it's not pew love, what I call stinky love. It's not sit in the pew and say, oh yeah, I love my neighbor. If he needs anything, he's got to go to the benefactors who exercise authority. But I love him. Bunk. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. Now, some people want to become legalists and start listing off 700 rules, and you got to follow all these rules. No, this is the spirit of the law. The law is spirit. Paul tells you that. And it actually tells you that in the Old Testament too. Thou shalt be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. In other words, the Eucharist of Christ, the Thanksgiving of Christ. That's how you serve God, by serving one another. God doesn't need your help, but your neighbor does. Therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until ye have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth. Now that's actually a prophecy at this stage. Everything else is already happening. That hasn't quite happened yet, but that will happen, and we'll show you that in other places at other times. Keep some things a mystery. The nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And you know, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. But you deserve it. And because you're a sinner. Because you're not doing righteousness. And all you have to do is gather together with the intention of starting to care about others as much as you care. All your depression and your need for depression drugs will all start disappearing if you start laying down your life for others, because you will be returning to the Father, and then the Father can return to you. You're returning to the ways of the Father. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy lands until thou be destroyed, and also shalt not leave thee either corn, it'll all be GMO anyway, wine or oil or increase of thy kind. Now that's a repeat. He's repeating something that happened before. He already said this. The flocks of thy sheep until they have destroyed thee. But this is a new curse. This is a part of the secondary level of this curse. Like I said, all this happens on many levels in prophecy. And you've already losing your children, and they're being devoured. And we're going to show you some other unbelievable quotes. And we'll show you how this is affected right today. We're connecting the dots here so that it's not such a mystery. Some of you are going to still miss it. You may have to go over it. That's why we're making an audio too. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down. There's another place where it talks about all the walls falling down. Wherein thou, in another book of the Bible, which is what this is all about, trusteth throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruits of thine own body. What's the fruit of your body? That's your children. The flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. You're going to eat their flesh. That's happening now. In the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. Now, we'd have to go into the Hebrew for you to understand that, but I'll leave it in the metaphor so that you can wonder about it and pray about it, because really you have to be enlightened from within. I cannot give you the knowledge you need. You need to be given that knowledge from within your heart and within your mind spiritually. And it goes on in verse 55, so that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. In Jeremiah 19:9, we see, and I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies, and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. That's what's happening when you take the benefits from benefactors who have made you collateral and your children collateral and your children's children collateral. Is you're, every time you take those benefits, you're eating of the flesh of your sons and daughters. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to start taking care of one another. And we'll talk about this and the cauldron of the city in Ezekiel 11:3 and 11:7 and Micah 3:3 when we return to the keys of the kingdom. Next time. Till then, peace on your house and God bless you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.